This direct voice talk was given by Dr. Ledbetter.
Well, I'm not quite sure if you can hear.
Hear you quite well.
I'm endeavoring to speak as best I can through this mechanism.
Yes, we can.
I'm not as familiar with it as obviously many of your friends and many of your contacts from this side. But nevertheless, I'm endeavoring to speak to you because I'm very interested in what you've been up to. And I'm very anxious, if I can, to be of some help and some service in regard to this matter.
Thank you.
Which affects all humanity, of course. But I do want you to be well assured that in spite of the fact that communication obviously is a reality, otherwise I wouldn't be here speaking if it were not so, but I don't want you to dismiss reincarnation, because I can assure you that reincarnation is the truth of life, inasmuch that it is indeed essential and important that many people should incarnate and have many incarnations for various very obvious and very good reasons. And in many instances, some that incarnate again, that come back, as you say, in earthly bodies, come back to do a definite work, to fulfill a purpose, to fulfill a plan. And indeed, there are whole groups of individuals who are associated over many incarnations, who have known each other at different times in different countries. Time itself is insignificant in the evolution of the human individual. These bodies, which seem so important for the time in which we inhabit them, are, after all said and done, not in themselves important. They're merely the vehicles of the expression of the individual, the opportunities that present themselves during these various lives are many and necessary, and we learn and gain experience through them. We must look upon our individual separate existences as important stages or steps in evolution, and the body is merely vehicles through which we are able to experience many things. Indeed, many of the great souls who have inhabited your world have been old souls incarnated, sometimes many times. There's hardly anyone that you can mention who has made some great contribution to human society and to life that hasn't had an incarnation, possibly many incarnations before. These souls choose to return invariably. There are souls who feel the need to return to do some work of some vital importance. I would not like you to be under the impression that reincarnation is a lot of nonsense or bunkum. It is a truth, and a very vital and a very great truth, that does not in any way interfere or in any way suggest that spiritualism is not true. In fact, spiritualism, properly understood, which it so seldom ever is properly understood, and properly applied in regard to human relationships and in the realization that life is continuous, we must not assume that man only has one earthly existence, and then, having taken from that one existence all that he can, utilizes it for the benefit of his progress over here. We must remember that time itself is as nothing, and that one physical existence in time itself is insignificant in a sense. One may gain a great deal of knowledge and experience in one incarnation, whereas others may have an incarnation in flesh through in which they learn very little. We must look upon the earth world in the sense that it is a training ground, it is a schoolhouse in which we learn lessons which are necessary for our evolution. And we must also realize that it is necessary often to return again and again for various very good reasons, not only for our own evolution, but because of our contribution as individuals towards other people's evolution. We must remember that although we are separate individuals with separate bodies, whether they be earthly bodies or spiritual bodies, it's the same spirit that is animating them, and it is the same spirit that flows through all of us, through all nature, through all life. It is the same power, the same force, the same vitalizing thing which we call God, if you like. Call it the breath of God, call it what you will. It's the same animating force and spirit that gives life to all things. We mustn't be under the impression, as so many people are, that the earth life is the beginning and the end. It's not even the beginning, I have no doubt in my mind, that before a soul is born, the spirit is still in existence. The spirit is waiting for the body to be born into the world, and is already beginning to, no doubt, animate it to some extent before it is actually born. There's so much discussed and talked about in regard to incarnations and reincarnation generally, and so little is properly understood. Indeed, I could say that there's a great deal of error which has crept in, as it always does, in all religions, in all faiths, in all beliefs. You do get varying things which obliterate the essential truths of the passing of time. You know, I was a great student of philosophy. I was a great admirer of Blavatsky until we had a very, well, unfortunate set of experiences. And I don't want to go into all old history. It's too well known, no doubt, among a lot of theosophists. My name, by the way, is Leadbeater.
Oh, Leadbeater, yes. Yeah.
I've come particularly because I know that you have great interest in theosophy, and I know that you've been endeavoring to help theosophists to have a wider experience of these things, but I would not like you to think that theosophy is not true. I'm not suggesting that everyone incarnates or reincarnates, that certainly many, many people do. And there are many people walking in your world today who are old souls, who are incarnated for a definite purpose. There are many individuals who are now making a contribution towards future history, which at the moment you cannot see, perhaps even the rhyme or reason or point of, but you will see as the past. In the past, there have been great souls who have contributed much to life, so there are people today who are contributing much to the future. You are doing your job, but you do not realize, possibly, that you're very old souls. You just haven't stumbled on truth accidentally and now propagating it in consequence. You've come back into your world as old souls to be used, to be taken into various ways, into various places to propagate this truth. You are fulfilling a task that's been set you a long time ago. You mustn't think that you're just coming into this now, as it were, in this present existence of yours. You've been in this truth and had a realization of it for centuries. I could tell you that you've had several incarnations. At least once in ancient Egypt, you've had an incarnation, both of you, and also in ancient Roman times, in the time of one of the Caesars. You've also had an incarnation in 18th century France. And if I were to denote all these things and tell you about them, it would be of great interest to you. You may not necessarily be able to grasp it completely or accept it. But in a way, perhaps it doesn't matter. We're always having people say, oh, well, if I've incarnated on many incarnations. If I've had all these different lives, well, I don't remember them myself without having to be told, and then if I'm told, I can't necessarily accept them. There are arguments that people bring up against it, but it doesn't matter. It isn't important when you're on the earth necessarily to remember a previous existence. There are some fortunate people who do, but too much stock is put on the fact that one cannot remember these incarnations, and if you do, you can put it down to hallucination or imagination or wishful thinking or all sorts of things. This is true enough, I suppose, with many people, but there are many well authenticated cases beyond dispute of souls that are reincarnated, and it doesn't in a sense matter whether the vast majority cannot remember. It is your contribution that you are making to your present existence that matters. What you are doing, not only in evolving yourselves, but what you are doing in regard and respect to others, how you are helping them to evolve, how you are imparting knowledge and experience to them, how you are demonstrating truth. For truth is truth, and there's nothing higher, nothing greater than truth itself. And it is truth that gives freedom to humanity. The great tragedies of the earth over generations of time is that so much has been suppressed because of the materialism among men. So few have sought truth, and even some who sought it and to some extent have found it have used it in the wrong way. They have often used their powers, which you term psychic powers, for ulterior motives, and in other words, they have utilized these gifts to such an extent that they have lost them in consequence. I could point to many instances of souls who've had remarkable powers, but who have lost them through various reasons, for various reasons, are pretty obvious in some instances. You see, if you are to do the work, the sincere, truthful work of spiritual realization, you must be able to take from yourself the worser. You must be able to overcome to a great extent the temptations of materialism. You must remember and realize the power of the spirit is such that nothing is impossible. If you have that realization and that faith that the power of the spirit within you is such that nothing can touch it, nothing can harm it, that you can achieve all that you want to achieve that is good, but only when you yourself are prepared to stand firm and to allow yourselves to overcome the evils, not only within yourself, but the evils in others, so that they shall not touch you or harm you. When you can be assured that your task is not only your own evolution, that is the tragedy of so many religions and so many peoples, they are so concerned with self, and in a sense, the way to achieve true progress and evolution is to forget self in love and in service to humanity. As you are serving others and forgetting self in consequence, you will be surprised how you yourselves are subtly and gradually evolving and changing. And there's so much nonsense talked about one's own being saved. One cannot save, one does not save oneself, neither can you be saved by any so-called savior. The only way to be assured of a spiritual consciousness and awareness and a gradual evolution towards greater truth and in consequence a greater peace and a greater happiness. And the only way, in a sense, that you can be, if I must use the word saved, is to completely give yourself to the power of the spirit that animates you, and let it so flow through you that all around and about you become conscious of it, and consequence they become more attuned into your vibrations and your power, and are partakers of it with you, because it is this divine force, this tremendous power which we call life, that binds you together. And indeed you cannot be separated, no matter how much you may try in life to separate yourself from others. It's an impossibility. I know that you are told to withdraw away from the world, to be quiet and at peace, and to tune in and to harmonize with the so-called dead, to tune in and to link up with the spheres of light. All these things are good, but even so, you are never alone. When you think you are withdrawn away from humanity and you are tuning in on a spiritual vibration, in a sense, without possibly realizing it, you are opening the door even more widely to others, and you're making it possible for them to draw close unto you, and you are drawing closer unto them in consequence, because you are becoming more sensitized, and the more sensitized you become, obviously, the more part of others you must be. This nonsense that is talked about being individuals, I do not deny the fact that one has an individuality in various ways, this is obvious. But fundamentally, there's no such thing, in a sense, as an individual. You are all part of the same spirit. You are, for instance, even in a material sense, you are born in the same way. You grow up, you partake of the knowledge, such as it is, that the world has to offer. Through other people's minds, you receive enlightenment, such as it is, and you become carbon copies of those who taught you. In other words, you cannot escape being part of others. In everything that you do, everything that you say, everything that you are, everything that you even seem to become is a reflection of other people's thoughts, minds, and actions. So you're in a sense not truly an individual. There's a great misunderstanding about this idea that you are a separate individual. There's no such thing as a separate individual. There is a person, shall we say, called Mrs. Brown, who lives in such and such a street, and she has particularly certain facets to her nature, and you accept her as a certain type of person. You say Mrs. Brown is such and such a type and so on. But in a way, this is all loose thinking and loose talking. Mrs. Brown is much more than she appears on the surface. She may develop certain traits in her character. She may become a certain type, if you like, of individual. But really, she's only reflecting the thoughts and emotions of others, perhaps in past generations, perhaps a throwback to some aunt or some uncle or some grandparent. You cannot realize how we are all part of each other. There's no escaping from each other. People are always trying to run away. People are always saying, oh, I wish I could get away and withdraw from everything and everybody and live a simple, pure life on my own somewhere or with someone that I could tune in with in harmony. It's all a fallacy. It's all very much a pipe dream. We are all too much part of each other. We are all so much blended together, whether we like it or not. To some extent we have to accept it, and we must accept life, and we must battle with life, and we must remember and realize that we are in the world of flesh. As old inhabitants, we are old visitors. We may not always recognize the fact, but it's obviously so. We don't necessarily like certain things that we do, or certain things that we say. But sometimes, with hardly realizing it, we do it automatically. We are too much the product of our past to escape. You must accept this, whether it is palatable at times or not. Point is that the so-called dead and the so-called living are one. There's no such thing, in a sense, as birth. There's no such thing as death. These are the two biggest illusions that man has ever created. You can say, if you like, oh yes, a man is born and a man dies. That is, in a sense, true, but much more truthful to say that a body is created and it develops and it dies. The same as in nature, a tree sprouts from the earth, from the small seed, and gradually becomes an enormous tree. But with the passing of time, it falls back into the earth, but it's still not dead. It comes into some other shape and form. Even the earth, even the substance which constitutes all life, physical, material life, has an animation and a force and a vitality of its own, which is indestructible, and the spirit is indestructible. But because it is of a rarity, far removed from earth and a purified condition, you cannot conceive of what it is and what it can achieve and what it can become. But it is the animating thing behind all life. Do not doubt for one moment that there is no such thing as an individual. You may like to flatter yourselves with the fact that you are individuals. You're right if you like to accept it in a sense you have an individuality of your own. I don't want to take that from you, but it doesn't alter the fact that you are the product of innumerable experiences of lives that have been lived centuries ago, of thoughts of others that, in a sense, are part of yourselves. It's such an involved thing to explain, but once you can rid yourself of the limitations that are set upon you by materialism and the vibrations that have created over centuries of time, when you can realize the immensity of all this, rid yourself of the idea of bodies as such, that look upon them merely as vehicles of expression of the animating force of all life. When you can rid yourself of all these restricting thoughts, then you will make the real progress that you seek and you desire. I'd like very much to go into a lot of detail about this at some future time.
Thank you, Mr.
Lindley. Thank you very much, Mr.
Lindley. The power of the spirit is so tremendous that it beggars description. All around and about you, you've seen the result of the power, the animating force of all life. Call it a spirit, if you will. You cannot escape from these things. These things are the ultimate truths. There will be those who will decry them for various reasons, because it suits their purpose, or perhaps in some instances because they sincerely believe their own narrow creeds and dogmas. But it alters not the fact that the time will come when all shall acknowledge and accept the reality of these things of which we speak. All life is one. All things are basically truth, even though they appear sometimes as error. There is a basic truth in all things. It is essential to experience all things. It is important that one should suffer. One does not like to suffer when one is on earth, and yet it is through suffering that one oftentimes reaches one's nearest point towards the ultimate truth of life itself. It is only when we are most low that we start to climb the ladder which brings us into the heights. We must not lose faith. We must remember that we are all travelers on the road of spiritual progression, and that we are all partakers of the same power and the same love, that we are all entwined one with another. We cannot escape from this, and we should not even desire it. For as we expand and grow, so are others being helped, and in consequence by our experience, we have great responsibility one to another. and do not for one moment think that we can escape it. There are many people who regret many things, but they themselves find that through the evolution of time and in time itself, all these things which cause us to fret even for a time will pass. Do not avoid that which is set you to do, for as I've told you, whether you understand it fully or not, you are old souls sent back to do a work, and that which you are doing is a great work. You are partakers of great truth, and it is your task and responsibility to pass this on to those less informed. Go forward in your work. Give forth that which you have been given, and you know that you are blessed in consequence. I will come again some future date and talk to you, and if there are any questions that either of you would like to put to me, and perhaps particularly some of my theosophist friends who may have some special questions, if they would like to bring them to me on their behalf, I should be happy to try and answer them. May God bless you. And I use that term God in the highest possible sense, realizing that the word God is symbolic of the living power which animates us all. It is not a person. It is a force beyond description and words, of which we are all part. My peace be with you. Farewell.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes.